Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All Victory Monday brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Tony, you know you can't get the 15-1 without getting the one.
No.
First off, you got the one victory, now 14 in a row. We'll put the Jags squarely at 15-1, and I think good enough for a first-round bye. We'll see how that works out. You know
Plus
what?
The Broncos go undefeated.
Perhaps, right? Or the Bengals, I guess. Look, no matter what the record is, no matter what they end up for this week, for today, we certainly don't care. We're not going to worry about what they're going to do against the Patriots next week. We're not going to worry about the Indianapolis Colts. Well, we'll watch and wonder and certainly root against the Indianapolis Colts tonight. And could you imagine if the Colts and Texans start the season 0-2 and the Jags tied with the suddenly sinking Tennessee Titans, I mean dropping like a stone in the AFC South standings, Tony. I'm laying it on thick this morning, but, oh, man, doesn't it feel good? Just what, Tony, it's the difference between making a handful of plays, and truly we hear that all the time in the National Football League, right? But you're tired of being on the wrong side of that. You're tired of hearing, boy, if we'd only made this play, if this hadn't happened, well, the Dolphins can ask those questions today and let them. And I understand as you watch that second half, you may have been frustrated. I got the tweets. Same old offense. Here we go again. And look, they didn't move the ball up and down the field in the second half, but what a performance by the defense, forcing five straight punts and then a turnover on downs to seal the victory yesterday. And they came up big when they needed it, Tony. They got end of half drives that resulted in points in each half, and obviously the killer penalty of Olivier Vernon yesterday helped them out. But even without that, who knows? They were moving the ball, and maybe it ends up being a slightly longer field goal than it turned out to be. But Jason Myers looked dialed in yesterday.
Look, I was thinking about this last night, and while I was watching the game, and then again this morning, the highest compliment I can pay to the Jaguars and that game yesterday and all the fans who came out here to watch it is I think a lot of times fans get so focused in on their team that they put blinders on to what reality is in the NFL, right? Like, there are a lot of NFL games yesterday where a team looked really good for a 20-25 minute span and then lulled offensively. That happens in this league. What you saw yesterday was an NFL game. It wasn't one team that was overmatched and trying to find some way to stay in it, claw any way they could to stay in a game. It looked like two NFL teams going head-to-head and playing a pretty damn good football game. And in the end, one team found a way to win it in the end. That happened to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. This isn't about how bad they were offensively for a quarter and a half. Forget that. It happens. It's the National Football League. You lull every now and then. They won a game at home against a team that a lot of people think is going to be in the playoffs. And they played a game that for the first time since Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell have been here looked like an NFL team playing an NFL team where you didn't have to have everything go your way to find a way to win. You made plays when it mattered, and you found a way to win the football game. That's all in the end that counts. You look like an NFL team. The depth on that team has been tested for the first 2 weeks of the season. Yesterday, it stood up and passed the test with flying colors.
Tony, going into the game without five starters, right? Forget Dante Fowler Jr., who likely would have been a starter.
No, not just five starters, but your best offensive, best defensive player, and your left tackle.
Right. You're talking Cedric Marks, who was the MVP of this team last year. Andre Branch, who's supposed to be your Leo pass rusher. Jonathan Cyprian, missing in the secondary. Luke Jokel, who, again, as we described, may not be the best left tackle in the league, but he's the best option the Jags have, despite the good performance from Sam Young yesterday. And, of course, Julius Thomas, we've yet to see now. They get Marquise Lee back. That's great. But in addition to that, you got Dwayne Grotz missing that game. You got Toby Gerhart, who's your short yardage specialist, and they couldn't convert yesterday in that situation, at least one attempt with the Yeldon run behind Alualu. Boy, and when you looked at who was out for Miami, it was nobody of significance on a relative scale.
No.
Then the guys that went out throughout the course of the game with Colvin and House, dehydration and cramps, and you lose Denard right from the start. And I've not heard an update on Denard. Have you heard anything on Denard this
Nothing
morning?
Nothing yet.
We'll
no.
keep our ears open for that. But today, this is about you, the Jag fan, weighing in and just letting us know how you feel about this one. And look, if you want to critique, that's fine. That's your prerogative, but I would imagine there are a lot of happy Jag fans out there today. Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Simply ask you, how did the Jaguars' victory make you feel? yesterday? What was the emotional gamut that you ran? How would you describe it? It was good. It was phenomenal. There are a lot of great ways, and we've had a lot of great descriptions already. So share your thoughts with us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Phone lines open to you right now at 641-1010. Also, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Coming up later today, John Osier will stop in with a little Oh No's feature and a look back on the game. Hopeful to catch up with one of the players from the Jags at around 11:15 this morning. Not sure who yet, so I'm not going to tell you who because we don't know. But listen for that coming up, and we'll take plenty of reaction from you as well. He's Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold victory Monday. Jaguars Today live at EverBank. Phone lines open at 641-1010. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Man, you played for your teammates. We went for a ride, man. We went for a ride. Outstanding job. Savor it, man. Valuable, valuable lessons, both in losses and in victories. And in victories. Outstanding job. Show up strong on three. One, two, three.
Show up strong!
You'll play that again about 50 times, Tony. What do you think? Let's keep looping that this morning. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Gus, pretty emotional, man. He's kind of right on the brink, I thought, on that one, right?
I think he should be. You know, and I don't think it's because, you know, they win that game and it's like 2 years ago when they finally broke through against Tennessee, right? Like, it doesn't have that kind of feeling to it. It felt like a team that really thought they were better than they were.
And got a chance to show it.
Right, against Carolina. They played so poorly, missed so many opportunities to keep themselves and give themselves a chance in that game against Carolina, and they come out the next week after basically disappointing an entire fan base, and they know it inside this building. They know what the expectations were for this team coming in. They have a better team in Miami coming in than Carolina is perceived to be, and they found a way to get it done. And for Gus Bradley and those guys who have been working so hard to make this kind of thing happen, that's a big moment. But it doesn't feel like it did, you know, finally, we got that one against Tennessee. This one to me feels more like we got this one. We're so happy that all the work we put in looks like it is paying off for us. Now let's see where this can take us. Not this is the mountaintop.
Right, right.
This is where we can go, guys. This is what it can feel like a lot more around here than it does just three times a year.
Especially when you get some of this laundry list of injured players back. Oh, my goodness. Now, look, it's not going to be easy going up to New England. We'll worry about that on Wednesday, Tony. I have a feeling we're going to be looking back at this one for a couple of days. There's no 24-hour rule on Jaguars Today,
no.
By the way. We've got Tell the Truth Monday, and truthfully, I'm just happy that they won. That's the truth of the matter. You always prefer to see them dominate, play well, and win. I would have taken any kind of victory yesterday.
Sure.
It was that important, but I think they did play well in the game. Like you said, teams go into lulls at different points of the game. Look at the total offense at the end of the day. Look at all the punts forced by the defense in the second half. Coming up big in key moments. Look at, you know, the risk-taking. Too conservative, right? That's what we hear, right? I can call these plays. I know what's coming. Dive into the line. This, that, and the other. You know, quick screen on third and 10 and things like that. No, they threw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles was going to give Allen Robinson opportunities to show just what he's capable of doing, and Allen Robinson took advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, and I'm like anyone else. You know, I'm watching the game, and there's a handful of times when they call a play, and I'm like, meh, I wouldn't have done that. You know,
sure.
And the play didn't work, but that's part of it, too. Look, it's just watching this organization get to a point where they can be dealing with all that they have to deal with right now with guys that aren't available to them and still compete and play the way they did yesterday is a testament to all the work that these guys have done building a roster. And it's a testament to Blake Bortles and these young guys who last week we really got down on for not taking advantage of opportunities they had, taking advantage of those kind of plays. I mean, that play by Allen Robinson, when he went up over the defender and pulled that ball in, that's something we haven't seen.
Right.
Like, every team in the league has a guy who makes that kind of play. Jacksonville just hasn't had it, and it was like, it's here. Right? Like, when you feel like you have players who can make those plays, We can be competitive with anybody in the league if Allen Robinson can go up and make that kind of contested catch in the second quarter of a game. It was great to see because we all believe that he has that kind of skill in him. He just hadn't shown it on the field.
6-4-1-10-10 as we go to the phones. I'll just say this last piece. I feel great today. You know, got that warm afterglow, as Mary described it on the post game on the scoreboard show last night. Hi, Mary. I know you're listening out there. And, but Tony, you know, they screw up in the future. Doesn't mean we won't be critiquing them just as hard. You know, we're going to call it like we see it. And we saw a lot of good yesterday. And why not celebrate the good for a team that's had not enough of it over the last too many years? Let's put it that way. Let's go to Brad. Start things off this morning on Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Victory Monday. What's up, Brad? How are you?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Okay, well, I am Brad from the John Osier Fan Club Fantasy Football League. I called you guys last week after that gut-wrenching loss, and it was a tough week, but I'm glad we're able to put that behind us, and I'm calling because you guys kind of politely shut me down last week, and after we lost, and I said, you know what, it's one game, we need to put it behind us, and I think it was you, Mike, who said, well, you know, Brad, I think you're wrong, but I hope you can call and say I told you so. So that's mainly what I called to do, just say I told you so. But to be honest and to be fair, there's no way, like any Jags fan who's paid attention to the last few years, had any reason to really expect that we'd go out there and do that. I just wanted to call and say I'm really excited and just kind of hear some of your other thoughts on the game. And overall, it's a great Monday to be a Jag. So.
All right, hey, Brad, thank you. Look, I'll be happy to pick against them every week if that's the result, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you this right now. I'm probably not going to predict the upset coming up in week three.
No, probably not.
Be happy if they get it. But so, you know what? Feel free to call me next Monday and every Monday. I hope you do. I hope you call me for the next 14 straight Mondays,
yeah,
as a matter of fact.
You know, I produce the pregame and everything that we do down here for Jaguars Radio. Then I head upstairs for the home games to watch from the press box. And when I got upstairs, I didn't bring my laptop. I just left it down here because I didn't want to be distracted by my FanDuel, honestly, during the game.
I stunk this week at FanDuel.
Me too. I got one league where I may do okay in. But it's, I didn't want to be distracted by it, so I only had my phone, and I couldn't get my phone to connect to the Wi-Fi up there, and I was playing around with it for like the first quarter and a half. And by the time I finally got it connected and can get on Twitter, I was like, you know what? No. I was like, they're playing too well. I'm not a superstitious person, but I'm not going to be the one who jinxes this. I was like, I'm not tweeting. Throughout this entire game, I'm not sending anything out. And I had a couple people that actually tweeted me during the game. They're like, why aren't you tweeting during the game? And finally, the game ended. I was like, I couldn't get my phone connected for the first quarter and a half. They were playing so well that I didn't want to jinx it. You're welcome. Like, I just, you're welcome, everybody. Like, if it takes us saying they stink for them to perform like that, fine. If it takes us having to be radio silence for them to perform like that, fine. It's just so much more fun when they find a way to win football games.
Every day we do the pregame show, right, on Sundays, and then at a certain point at about 12:15 for a 1 o'clock kick, or about 45 minutes prior to kickoff, we come inside and we send it up to the booth, and JP and I basically have like 30 minutes where we're not doing anything. And so what I'll do is I'll come down here, I'll walk down the hall sometimes, maybe grab a bite to eat, whatever, bring it back. Anyway, at some point in the morning, the security guard who stands outside the locker room, we always exchange a few words and like a fist bump or a high five. And yesterday I said, you know what? This is not working. All right. So we intentionally missed each other on the high five, did the complete whiff. And that's got to be the new tradition. I'm going to take full responsibility and credit for the victory, Tony, because of that gesture.
Yeah.
Yesterday. I'm the same way. I'm superstitious as can be. Let's get Dustin up here next on Jaguars today. Good morning, Dustin. How are you?
Oh, man, there's a W in Jacksonville.
Yes,
finally.
Sir.
I've been devoted to this team since day one, and I've never reached the level of disappointment and sorrow that I did last week. And I thought that I finally got to the point where I was going to give up, and this week turned it all around, and I just kept asking myself last week, when does it change? When does this team become an NFL-caliber team? And looking at Steven Young on the front line yesterday and looking at Allen Robinson make all those plays, I finally feel like we got it. I finally feel like I watched an NFL team yesterday get a victory and not just barely escape and kick a last-minute field goal. It is good to be a victor in Jacksonville, Florida.
Enjoy it, man. You should. Spell Jacksonville with a W all week long. You know what? And if anybody tries to correct you, just give them a quick chop in the throat.
Sure. Sure, and look, that what he's describing is exactly what I think the emotion you heard from Gus Bradley in that locker room was yesterday, too. It's just this idea of you could feel everything slipping after that first week. Like, all that belief that there was around this team.
Everything they built up.
Right, you could feel it slipping. And inside the room, you know, they talked about it every time that they addressed the media. It's like, we got to be honest with ourselves and figure out what we need to do going forward, and we're going to be better this week. And, you know, it's all those things, and it showed up. You know, it wasn't just lip service. For this week, you know, got to look in the mirror. No, they looked in the mirror and they found a way to get better over the course of a week. And look, I have some criticisms. We'll get to those here in a couple minutes. But right now, just bask in it, Jacksonville.
Let's get Theodore up here next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Theodore. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. What's up?
Chilling, man. That win yesterday reminded me of 1999 when the crowds were full and the offense was explosive. And I'd like to thank the Dolphins for giving us free yardage.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? You like to earn everything you get. I'll take a gift if they want to throw a ridiculous unsportsmanlike conduct penalty out there, personal foul. I mean, look, was it the most egregious thing ever on a football field, Tony, what Olivier Vernon did? Far from it. But you gotta know in that
He's
moment.
He's an idiot.
You just gotta keep your hands to yourself. Just keep your hands down. Point at Harbor. Maybe Harbor doesn't get the penalty, but you're not getting one. And at that point, 15 yards basically clinched a reasonable expectation that the Jags would be able to go ahead.
Yeah,
didn't clinch the game.
There's no way to know, you know, what the Jaguars would have done as far as play calling if that
right.
penalty doesn't happen. It's not like the Jaguars can't get down to that part
of the
field.
They were moving the ball.
Right? You know, it's just that's such a stupid moment for him, and it's almost systemic of what's going on with Miami right now. They didn't perform up to what the level of expectation was against Washington. They found a way to win the game because Landry had that punt return. They come in here to Jacksonville week two. Not only do you have that Vernon play 13 penalties in that game, but now you have reports coming out afterwards that Ndamukong Suh is basically just freelancing.
He's doing whatever he wants.
Right. He's not running within the defense, and everyone's like, well, what's wrong with this defensive line? Maybe it's the fact that you paid a guy $100 million and he's not going to do what he's being asked to do. And so he's not in position to help the guys around him be better because he's just out there freelancing, and it's a systemic problem with Miami right now. Jacksonville got to be the benefactors of that for one Sunday.
Absolutely. I mean, and you can just imagine what that's going to be like down there on if you're Olivier Vernon this week, or if you're Ndamukong Suh, who's made zero impact in 2 weeks, as when they signed him, the highest paid defensive player in the league, Marcel Darius, I think, has eclipsed him on an average per year in his new money deal.
Maybe
that he got
with
the Buffalo
mad.
Bills. Maybe he is. I don't know, Tony. But, you know, it's so funny. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. There is language in a standard player contract that if a player gets suspended, you can go after a portion of their guaranteed money, their signing bonus. Obviously, when they're suspended, they miss game checks. But Sue specifically had his agent negotiate that out of his deal as if to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get suspended at some point, and you're damn sure going to pay me all that money, whether I'm on the field or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, off to just a rousing start with that signing down at, what did he have, a tackle yesterday?
He had a tackle. I think Cameron Wake didn't show up in the stat list at all.
Second consecutive week,
right,
by the way.
I mean, he's...
And he's supposed to be playing off of Sue. If Sue's
right.
not disrupting, it makes it a lot easier to block Cameron Wake.
Yeah, he was better with Audrick next to
Great
him.
Job by Linder and Parnell. I mean, Sue got penetration on a few plays. He's Ndamukong Suh. He's supposed to be a good player and a dominant player. No sacks allowed. First time in, they went eight consecutive games allowing four or more sacks. The
yeah.
prior eight games, they had allowed at least four sacks in every game. None yesterday.
I haven't watched a replay or tape or anything, but I can remember one specific play during yesterday's game where I was like, let me just watch Parnell against Wake. It was in the first quarter of the game. The run wound up going, I think, for 2 yards to the right side. But Parnell got on Wake over there at that right tackle position. By the time the play ended, he was past Sam Young on the left side. He shoved him through the entire line of scrimmage and then to the ground on the play, and I was like, ooh, if that's what they're going to get from Parnell today, they're going to be in okay shape.
That's a big, strong man right there. All right, there you go. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. Mondays, particularly Victory Mondays, brought to you by our friends at Wild West Guns and Gold. Right now, you can get a free scope mounting with a rifle or scope purchase. Call Wild West Guns and Gold at 693-0777, or better yet, stop into Wild West Guns and Gold on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Check them out online at Guns4Jax. That's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank, the home a victory today. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, I think anytime Marquise is out there, I think, you know, you got to have a little bit of a plan and awareness for him as a defense, you know, because he's a guy that can stretch the field and beat you vertical at any time. So I think that kind of factors into the way defenses play. But I thought he did some good things. You know, obviously had a big, you know, first catch on that two-minute drive to start it.
That's Blake Bortles talking about Marquise Lee, Tony. He did help get that drive started. And I thought Marquise Lee, although not overwhelming on the stat sheet, was an important piece yesterday. You know, they got a little bit of a contribution, and it's a contribution that will grow over time.
Yeah, it's funny with Marquise Lee. It's almost like it was, you know, you had to get out to camp early to check out Marquise Lee, as everyone knows, before he got hurt. But it was... every time he's on that practice field, when you're out there watching practice, your eyes go to Marquise, right? He's that type of twitchy athlete that your eyes go to him. Every time he came on the field yesterday, I found myself, instead of watching the ball, I'm like, there's Marquise. Like, he's just that type of guy and has that kind of potential playmaking ability that every time he was on the field, you kind of watch to see what Marquise is going to do on that play, and you hope that, you know, yesterday he looked good. Hopefully he felt good coming out of that game, and that use expands more and more over time, because how much better do you feel about having him on the field than Rashad Green, who Green's an okay player, and he may be a pretty good one when everything is said and done in the next couple of years. They're better with Marquise Lee, Allen Absolutely. Robinson, and Allen Hurns on the field all together, and the idea here in 2 or 3 weeks of it being those three guys with Julius Thomas, now you can start imagining things a little bit for this
team.
That's
not so bad, right? Now I'm with you, man. Look, Rashad Green had the back-to-back drops yesterday. That was a tough spot, but he did have a nice punt return and really escaped. Well, he could have been tackled at the 9. I think he got it out to like the 32, something like that. So that was a key play to help flip field position at that point in time. And, you know, look, he's a rookie. He's going to struggle at times. And it's nice if he can settle into what they drafted him to be, which is their fourth receiver.
Yeah.
But that's what they drafted him to be. And I like the balance that they have. Allen Robinson showing the field stretching ability the way he did, really for the first time. I mean, just the ability to make that cut inside, double move, and just blow past the secondary.
Sure.
We haven't seen that very much. And the key part is he caught it.
He caught it. And the other thing I said, and I mentioned this to the guys up in the booth yesterday too, is on that type of play, you mentioned the stat a few minutes ago about the Jags didn't give up a sack in a game for the first time since 2013, had given up 4 or more in 8 consecutive games. In that situation, for them to have the confidence in that offensive line to say, not only are we going to just throw the ball here on this play, but we're going to run a double move across the middle of the field to Allen Robinson, and we know, we are confident we're going to have enough time to make this play work, because they had set it up throughout the game, and then they called the perfect play. They made it, right? That's the kind of play that for the last couple of years, you watch the tape on it, you're like, it's there. Like, you're watching the tape, you're like, it's there, and Blake's just getting collapsed on by 2 or 3 different guys. They blocked it up, Blake found him, and it was an easy walk-in touchdown. And that's a play that's been available to the Jags for the last couple of years. They just haven't been able to get to it because the offensive line hasn't protected. Yesterday it did.
Yeah, yesterday it did, and we talked about that at times. How come they don't take more shots downfield? Well, you have to have time to throw the ball and let those plays develop. And like you said yesterday, kudos to the offensive line for giving them that kind of time. At Diehard Jag Fan on Twitter said, my high five whiff, talking about me, might have counted towards the win, but don't discount his new zigzag route that he took walking to the stadium. Expect that to continue,
okay.
I hope. Keep the zigzag route going. Whatever. You know, we all played a part, I think, Tony. none more so than my high five whiff, however. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here, and let's go to Eric up next, 641-1010. Eric, thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. What's up?
Awesome. Yeah, excited about that win yesterday. I will say, I thought Sam Young did an amazing job. I say keep him in there, let Joko learn from Sam. And then Cyprian, go ahead and let him sit and keep Sample in there. Sample's amazing. he's going to be a really good player for us. But that being said, great win all the way around. I thought our receivers played well, and obviously having Marquise Lee in there helped a ton. So what do you guys think?
All right, thanks. I don't think there's a prayer that they're going to let Sam Young stay in there to teach Jokel.
No, he did position. A good job yesterday.
He did do a good job yesterday, but you know, we're coming off a week when Sam Young got turned around like a top on occasion. Now, granted, when you don't come in taking starter reps, it's more difficult sometimes in that spot. But look, this team is not down on Luke Jokel. They're not. And has Luke been perfect? No. But maybe there would have been the same result yesterday had he been healthy and been able to play. The good news is you don't feel like all of a sudden you've got a black hole on your offensive line when Jokel's out. Sam Young performed pretty well yesterday. You know, we know Bolanco is a capable backup across the interior of that offensive line. And if Young can play that well on the left side, there's no reason he can't play well on the right side, which is a position he's more suited towards. So you feel like you've got, you know, without suffering a string of injuries, you've got the depth right now, Tony, to take you through a few weeks without one of your starters.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Jeff Loggeman about, you know, after he looks at the tape of yesterday's game and comes in with us for 2 hours tomorrow here on Jaguars Today, exactly what the offensive line did well. How good was Sam Young in that game? And Sample, I'm really curious to see what he has to say about Sample. I know he had 4 or 5 tackles in the game yesterday when everything was said and done. I think one of the touchdown passes was on James Sample, but that's the only time I remember saying, oh, you know, with James, I actually thought that he played pretty well, but it's hard to follow all the guys in the secondary. I thought Sergio Brown had a really good game. Not just the half sack, but I can remember 3 times off the top of my head where he's filling the right gap in the run game. One of them, he made the tackle behind the line of scrimmage down on the goal line. Miami went on to score on that on the drive, but he made the tackle behind the line of scrimmage on the goal line. And I can remember at least 2 other times where he was the outside leverage guy on a stretch run and forced the play back into the middle of the field where everybody was waiting on him. Sergio, I thought, had a really good game
and
yesterday.
Just had the buzzard's luck on the first play of the game for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
He tipped the ball, and instead of it going in any direction where it doesn't go directly to Rishard Matthews, that's exactly what it does for a 48-yard gain. All right, let's get back to the lines here. Eric, thank you for the call. Let's go to Kevin up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. You're doing a great job recapping the game. It's sort of like reliving the win all over again. I'm going to have to agree with a lot of the other callers about Sam Young. Sam, I don't think that Jokel's going to come in right away and take his spot if he has a game like he did yesterday. Not only did they not have any sacks, I think there was maybe, what, just 1 holding penalty against the offensive line. I tried to find the box score, but I couldn't see.
I think Wisniewski had a couple, but one of them got over. They didn't.
It was a 4th down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Luke's good for. I mean, he's good for giving up 1 sack and 1 holding penalty every game, and I thought he did a great job. And you know, last week you said the team. This week the team looked like a professional team, and that's really was a disappointment from last week. Not only did they lose, they looked very poor losing. Sometimes losing is not bad if you look good. And last week was just like Groundhog Day all over again. So really proud of the team, and enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Again, I'll reiterate on the Sam Young thing. The team does not feel that way about this situation.
No, and okay? I'm curious, when I get the chance to go back and watch it, how much they helped him. You know, how much was there a tight end or running back going to that side too because they felt like they needed to help that left side? I don't know. I wasn't paying much attention to it during the game yesterday, to be honest with you. I was mostly watching where the ball was going during the game. So I didn't pay much attention specifically to Sam Young. The offensive line did a good job. Whatever their game plan was to help that offensive line yesterday,
it worked.
It worked.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe with Luke Jokel, it allows them to do a few more things in the passing game with the tight ends than it does with Sam Young in the game. I don't know. But yesterday it worked.
Here's what it does, Tony. It doesn't give you any cause to rush Luke Jokel back. Now you can really take the time necessary to heal your ankle completely so you don't have a setback like it appeared you had when you tried to go back in the game. And I'm not saying it was the wrong decision. You tried to gut it out last week, but it hurt him. It probably hurt him more. Remember, he ended up doing a split because he couldn't put any weight on that ankle. And, you know, when you're wearing a boot, usually that's going to take a few weeks to get back, and I'm certainly not qualified to weigh in on his prognosis on how long he's going to be out, but I just think now you feel like, okay, you know what? It's not panic time. if you've got to play the backup. But there's a reason he's the backup. Again, folks, and I get what you're saying. He had a great game yesterday. But look at last week. Were you saying the same thing about Sam Young last week? I doubt you were. And let's hope he continues to play this way. I hope he does. I'd love for them to make it anywhere close to a decision, Tony. I just am telling you, from what this organization feels, it's not a decision.
No.
That Luke Joeckel, that's his job, and when he's healthy enough to play it, he will be right back in there.
And by the way, my big criticism of the game yesterday, and actually when they handed us the third quarter stats upstairs, I circled a couple numbers so that I would have them in my brain, right? It was, at that point in the game, after three quarters, Miami had 40 yards rushing. And it was something that we had talked about, I had talked about all week. Don't let Tannehill and his legs beat you in this game like Cam Newton had. Tannehill was a non-factor at that point in the game as far as running the ball. The other number I circled was a zero. And that was in the number of times the Jaguars had sacked Ryan Tannehill. And I said, this number 40 is good enough that they can win this game. If they don't change this zero, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. If they don't find a way to start getting some pressure on Ryan Tannehill in this quarter, they're going to lose this football game. The fourth quarter, they were all over Ryan Tannehill. And whether it was an offensive line that had some backups on it that finally got worn down, whatever it was, they brought some blitzes. It worked in the fourth quarter. And in the end, that was the difference in that ball game, was their ability to go get Tannehill in the fourth quarter, which they did not do for the first three.
I totally agree with you. I mean, we talked about it at halftime last night, J.P. Shadrick and I. No pressure, no pressure, no pressure. So despite the fact that you felt good where they stood, you knew it was going to have to come in the second half. And like you said, it came at the right time. Let's get, not slow-mo, Jay, flow-mo, Jay. Is that what I'm being told? Jay, good morning. How are you?
I'm the same slow-mo.
Oh, you are?
He got confused. Yes.
Oh, I guess he did.
The one and only.
I'm never going to trust Tyler again on the name, Jay. What can we do for you?
Okay. Well, see, I'm going to gloat right here because I've been telling you guys that Evans is a way better safety than Cibrian, and we've seen once they put Evans in the game, defense became locked now. He was everywhere.
Sample also started yesterday, not Evans.
Yeah, I know Sample started, but you know that's when the leak started because the rookie form showed, and then they had to put a veteran in that knew what he was doing. They couldn't go at Sample no more, so they stopped running. And also the receiving core. I love the receiving core. We got these guys, and they're going to take over the league soon. All they have to do is get a little bit of rep in with each other, and I think it's coming together pretty good. And also, I didn't hear about Denard Robinson's injury, but I would like to hear about that.
We would as well. And as soon as we have more info on that, we will pass that along to you, Jay. We appreciate the call.
Robinson and Rashad Green, we're all curious to see what it's going to be today.
Yeah, so with the thumb late in that one, and that put Nick Marshall in a position to be on punt return at a crucial point in the game. Hey, you know what? They got by the plan, as we remarked many times on the game broadcast, on the post game yesterday, on the scoreboard show. You're playing a guy at corner who was a quarterback this time last year. It's unbelievable. And they're able to get away with it yesterday, and clearly they weren't ready to throw him out there because that's why they brought Peyton Thompson up for the practice squad. But you know what? They got the job done. Good team win for the Jags. Coming up this date in football, the drive around the NFL. Johnny O's going to join us, and a lot more coming your way on a Wild West Guns and Gold Victory Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It was 45 years ago today that Monday Night Football premiered on ABC. The Browns 31, the Jets 21. I'd like the Jets to win tonight, and I think most here in Jacksonville would as well, Tony. This is also a very Jet-centric day in football history. 1980, Richard Todd of the Jets completed 42 passes in a game. At the time, an NFL record. It was equaled by Vinny Testaverde, but it was broken by Drew Bledsoe in 1994, and also by Rich Gannon, but Bledsoe now in an overtime game for New England against Minnesota completed 45 passes, which still stands as the best mark in NFL history for a single game. And in 86, one of my favorite games to watch of all time, the Jets beat the Dolphins 51-45 in overtime. Wesley Walker caught a 50-yard bomb in overtime to win that game in a game that featured the most passing yards in NFL history. 884. And Big Harry Sal, who I've talked about at Flagler, was a big Miami fan at the time. And Big Harry Sal was not happy with me on that afternoon as we all gathered around the communal TV at Flagler College. That's right. We had a TV to watch at Flagler College for about 1,000 people. Famous birthdays for this date. I don't know how famous all these are, but John Kitna was born on this date in 1972. Kevin Carter, the former Gator. Very good player in the National Football League. Had a 17-sack season among four double-digit sack years.
Yeah, I think he's on SEC Network now.
Two-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, played with St. Louis, played with Tennessee, Miami, and Tampa Bay. A trio of birthdays, the would-be Jaguar, Greg Jennings. Ha! Chose wrong, didn't you, Greg? 32 years old today. Former Jags, Derek Landry, and Reggie Nelson. Reggie Nelson's 32, Tony.
Wow.
Wow! They're all born on this date in 1983, and Doug Baldwin scored a touchdown last night for Seattle. He turns 27 years old today. This date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. Re-roofs, repairs for your home, for your business. Call Bob Roberts, 287-7756, license number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, the big news in the National Football League, outside, of course, of the Jaguars' victory over Miami, is the broken collarbone of Tony Romo. The Dallas quarterback was injured on a sack in the Cowboys' road victory over the Eagles yesterday and is expected to be out at least 2 months with the injury, if not longer. Cowboys backup quarterback Brandon Whedon, the former first-round pick of the Cleveland Browns, was 7-for-7 in relief duty yesterday. Romo's injury could open things up in the NFC East. Dallas, now at 2-0, leads Washington, who was 1-1 after their victory over St. Louis yesterday. Both the Giants and the Eagles are 0-2 through the first 2 weeks of the year. Green Bay Packers running back Eddie Lacy had x-rays on his injured ankle. They were negative. He will undergo further tests today to determine the extent of the injury before any timetable will be announced regarding how long he could be out. He left last night's Sunday night contest against Seattle in the first quarter. Week 2 of the NFL season wraps up tonight when the 1-0 New York Jets head to Indianapolis to take on the 0-1 Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football. Regardless of the outcome, at least for 1 week, Jaguars fans, you are in first place in the AFC South.
Your first place, Jacksonville Jaguars, as seen through the eyes of Johnny O. John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. What do you have to say about your first place Jacksonville Jaguars today, Johnny?
What, we win and I get no intro?
No, you will.
Hello,
you do that coming out of break. Oh, no's. He's here. Oh, no.
Throwing off right now.
Tyler,
I'm off my game.
Now we got to play for him, Tyler, just to make him happy.
It's time for Oh, no's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh, no's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
We figured you were sticking around for a little while, so we'd have an opportunity to bring that out.
I feel better now. I feel loose now.
All right,
now
you're
ready to go. All right.
Now you're good. All right. You've composed yourself, collected your thoughts. What are your
thoughts? What was the
question? wasn't that cool?
I mean, you know, this is an Ebby Calvin Lelouch day. You know, winning, it's like better than losing.
What is that?
From Ball Durham.
What did you say?
Ebby Calvin Lelouch.
Oh,
it's Tim Robbins' character.
Nuke's
comes
full,
in and he says, yeah.
And Ebby Calvin. Okay.
And he says, I go by Nuke too.
Hey, man, you know, winning, it's like better than losing.
It is that.
And it's, I mean, it's, there obviously were so many things, good, bad, and different, but it's so much better to talk about a victory. It's better for these guys to talk about a victory. And it felt to me, I kept saying before the game, it just felt really, really big. And usually week two, you don't say that, but this team felt like it was better. It needed to show it, and you know, boy, for a week two game, that was big.
You know, you said a minute ago when you came in before we came out of break that it was a very similar game to last week mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And had they not had the drops in the first half, because I said, you know, I thought they were better offensively in the first half compared to last week. But as you pointed out, well, maybe if they had hung on to the football, that would have been the difference. And you would have had about a 20-point first half. And you go the long stretch in the second half without threatening to score. But the difference is when it mattered most,
when you
had to have it, they came through and secured the victory. And the defense, unlike last week, giving up late, long drives, boy, time after time they were called upon, punt, 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 punt,
right,
and then forced them out on downs, six consecutive drives to end the game.
A friend of mine this morning texted me and said, you know, boy, was lucky, but we got it. And I said, you know what? In the NFL, unless you're a great team, which this team is not yet, a lot of times it's about being good enough to be close at the end and then making plays when it mattered. And at the end of the game yesterday, guys like Jared Odrick and Telvin Smith and Dan Skuda and, you know, on and on and on, you had guys who made enough plays to win the game. And that's what you got to do until you get things going where you're a great team and start getting leads and get ahead. But that's off in the future. Right now, they won a game they needed to win.
Yeah, and look, we talked about it before the season started, and we mentioned it off the top of the show today when talking to Jeff during Crosstalk. When the schedule came out, the conversation was they need to find a way to be 1-1. If this is a team that is going to have any kind of hope of being in playoff contention in December, which is what the expectation was for a lot of fans out there, they have to find a way to win one of those first two games. I think everyone thought Carolina would be the easier of the two to win, and with the way they looked last week, it felt like game 33 instead of one. And sure, we talked about that a lot last week. This week, it felt like more of what you expected to see out of this Jaguars team this year. And I think that's, and Mike and I have been talking about this all day too, that's the emotion that you got from Gus Bradley and this team after the game, is they felt like they lived up to their own expectations of themselves this week after a week where everything fell short for them.
And that's what, you know, again, last week I said a lot, you know, yes, they needed to win. And it was important to win because of the record, because you didn't want to have that, all that talk about, oh, with this tough schedule, it could be 0-4. Well, as important as that was, they needed to play like they thought they could play. They needed to sort of verify to themselves. And yes, it would be a much different conversation had that been a 23-20 loss. I mean, then all
that's the way it goes.
Right. Then all the flaws would have been talked about. But at its core, they would have still been able to say, you know what? We played better in a lot of areas. We finished some things. A-Rob looked, you know, they played more like they thought they could play. And, you know, I've been doing this for about 20 years now. That was as big a win on that front as I can remember in terms of a team needing to validate itself and say, okay, yes, we're doing things right, and we've shown you we're doing things right. That said, obviously, it's all just one game, and you got a lot of, you know,
sure,
I mean, this doesn't solve every, you know, but it was an impressive game because it felt like it needed to happen, and they did it.
All right, and I think you make an important point as well. They didn't play a perfect football game, right? There are things that you could correct. We're not going to dwell on them today because we're happy that the Jags won, right?
So you are happy.
We are happy.
It'll shine
to you. Absolutely. So, but the point of the matter is, John, there is room for improvement. Huh. They can play. That's not the best they can play. And, man, five starters out for the game
before
it even started, and two key backups. In addition to that, that's just your inactive list.
Right.
Never mind the guys that were dropping like flies throughout the course of the afternoon. Have you heard anything at all about Denard Robinson beyond?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, we expect to hear that at 1 o'clock when Gus Bradley speaks.
Right.
But I got an email late last night. That's my way of saying I was working late, Mike. And
wow,
it basically said,
I saw him sitting in his cubby, Tony. You didn't look too busy to me.
I don't think that. Yeah. I'm subtly
banging away on the keyboard. All right, what'd your email say?
That with all the injuries and with everybody who was, as you say, dropping like flies, this was not a game that this person felt like they could have won in the past couple of years. And boy, I agree with that. You know, you at the end of the game, you had corners number 4, 5, and 6 basically in the game. Now, this team really doesn't carry 6 corners, so they had to bring one up on Sunday. So I don't know that you could say, oh, boy, the secondary won that game in the fourth quarter, but the defense as a whole stepped up, got pressure, made it so that it was okay to be playing numbers 4, 5, and 6 back there. They made the plays when it mattered. They came through. I don't think it would have had the depth to sort of keep winning an NFL game where you had to fight, scrap, claw.
Let's be clear. They would have gotten blown out most of the time in the last couple of years. Had they had that many
They would have made that mistake that made it go from 4 to 11. Just like Miami game last year. Miami game was a close game last year, but you had a couple of mistakes, and all of a sudden it looked worse than it was. Yesterday, they didn't make those mistakes, and that was a big part of it as well.
All right. Tyler, do we have the audio I'm looking for here? Can we play that cut? All right, this is, I just wanted, before we head to break, and I know you're going to stick
this
around.
This is my intro music
this
again,
is
or
not,
is this something? Okay,
hush,
right.
This is public service announcement sent in from our roving reporter and sometimes host Duval Doom. Roll it.
Dear callers to Jaguars Today, please stop saying that Sam Young should play over Luke Jokel. Thank you.
That's all you get on a Vine. I think that's a Vine. Is that what the kids
call it?
That
was a Vine, yeah. Maybe that could be my intro music.
Here he is, John Osier, ladies and gentlemen. There was a rash of that. Yesterday. I get it. You win. What the players that played, they're the ones, hey, they brought us to victory. The other guy didn't bring us to victory, even though we all know it's not that simple of a process.
It's okay to have more than one good player at positions. That's what you hope you started to see a little bit, but Luke Jokel starts for this team when he's healthy.
Yes. All right, moving along, we'll come back more with Johnny O. Hopefully get a Jaguar player to join us here in studio coming up before the end of the show as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier here with you. It is Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Victory Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for O Knows with Jaguars.com's John Osier.
O Knows.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Play fake. He's back to the. He's hit. The ball is out. The ball is out. The ball is on the goal line. Let's see what they call. I think the Dolphins fell on it and then edged it forward. Jarek Odrick hit him. The ball was out. They're calling it down at the half-yard line.
I was lying all week. I was lying all week. I was so excited to play this game. So, it did feel kind of personal. So I was lying all week. I was very excited. This was not just another game.
Jarek Odrick. Radio rookie over here, Osier. Talk right over the highlight.
Yeah, here we go.
He's all excited. Oh, there's my open again. It's time for me to talk.
Everybody's giddy.
Hey, everyone is giddy today. But
rookie mistake.
Why can't guys just say, you know what? Yeah, of course, I'm human, man. I'm going up against my old team. There's always a little extra motivation. Is that, signify?
Cool.
I know, but does that signify what? That we're not trying as hard against other teams? Or what? I don't know. I mean, Peterson
some of
didn't
it
care.
Is not Pete? One to make it about yourself during a week. You know, here's Odrick. He just got here. Still new teammates. You don't want to make it about yourself before the game. I mean,
I get it, but come on. And then he's happy to admit, yeah, I was lying. Of course it meant something to me. Of course it does. Sure. I don't know if we would hold that against him.
But I tell you what, it's funny. I get emails, and I even got an email during the game yesterday. Odrick's getting pressure. Tell him it's okay to actually get to the quarterback. I mean, this was after, you know. And it's like, look, this guy is a strong side defensive end. He's not going to be a speed rusher who gets multiple sacks a game, but he influences the pocket. He influences plays. And boy, when it mattered yesterday on that play, that was a heck of a pass rush.
Great pass rush. You know, the chop
and that's
down.
That's what he brings you.
Forced fumble. And then he followed up, batted the pass on the very next snap.
Yeah.
He was taken over on that drive. And man, that was the one you're sitting there saying, do not let them convert this third down, right? I mean, that would have been gut-wrenching, I think, at that point, because you got them on the shadow of the goal line. And
well, the week before they did. And, you know, sometimes groups that are coming together, which this defense still is, I mean, Scuda, Otter, Sergio Brown, a lot of new guys, you know, you can improve from week to week, and they certainly got better in that late-game situation from week one to week two.
Someone sent us
also a better field position.
No question.
You know, when they were able to keep the Dolphins backed up late, and that kept them. You felt like the Dolphins were uphill, where the week before on that drive, the Panthers felt like they were downhill very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And look, we talked about it earlier, Mike. The two numbers I circled after the third quarter up in the press box: 40 yards rushing for Miami, 0 sacks on Tannehill. And I said, this number's good enough to win. If this number doesn't change, they're going to lose this game. And they got 2 sacks in the fourth quarter. They created all kinds of pressure on Tannehill in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, it felt
chaotic
in that fourth quarter.
Yeah. They brought blitzes. They twisted. Everything they were doing worked in the fourth quarter, and for the first three, they couldn't find a way to get that pressure. When it finally came, that was it. To me, that's the difference in that ball game.
Now you sit back and do the same thing that you've done all along. You know, expect a different result. Usually you're going to be unhappy with that, so yeah. They had to mix it up, and I think they need to right now until somebody establishes themselves as a down-in, down-out threat, and I don't think that person's on this roster.
But that's the way they got. I mean, they had 45 sacks last year, and we sort of said all off-season after Fowler went down, they're going to have to create pressure that same way, which is going to be stunts, blitzing at the right time. You know, they're going to have to get creative to get their pressure, and they did. And sort of the last, I mean, there's many lasting images from Sunday, but one of them of the Miami offense, because of the Jaguars' pressure, is Tannehill sort of bailing a couple steps out of the pocket and throwing the ball out of bounds on a high throw because there was nothing there with the coverage.
Sure.
And the pressure got home, and that's a lasting image of a defense that you want.
Yeah, and several times yesterday in the fourth quarter of that game, that was the case where Tannehill got outside. There was somebody with enough pursuit there that he's not going to run for any kind of yardage on that play. And there's also nothing open downfield. It was great there in the fourth quarter.
All right, let's get to some audio postgame yesterday. This is Gus Bradley addressing the media after the Jags' first win of 2015.
Great win. I mean, both sides, man. I give... We have a lot of respect for Miami and their team. And, you know, I thought the first half went back and forth in the second half. Extremely hard-fought game. You know, guys, I thought, gave it their all. Just sitting there talking to them in the locker room. A lot of guys that I wore out in there. But really credit to our guys. They played their tails off, I thought, from start to finish. Some of the things we challenged our team with last week. Loved the way they responded this week and came out and battled throughout. So many stories. A receiving group came back, thought really played well. You know, after what took place last week, our kicker, Jason Myers, did a nice job. Just, you know, I can go on and on about a lot of the position groups. But just a hard-fought battle. There's some mistakes out there we need to correct. But overall, the intensity and how we played the game, just very pleased.
For 1 week, they were playing Bob Marley's Redemption song in the locker room, I think, after the game.
You cut him off there, but the next thing was me saying, hey, Gus, you know what? Let me decide the story.
I cut him off? I cut him off there?
I'll decide the story.
Yeah, that's what Osher's going to do.
Yeah, and look, it's about trusting your evaluation on guys, too. I mean, a lot of fans were upset when they traded Scobie, right? And Jason Myers makes a 58-yard field goal. Who knows how different that game is without that play? And they kept Myers because they felt like he can give them that type of opportunity and weapon in a game, and it paid dividends for him in that game.
Well, and give him credit. The 58-yarder was a long kick. After last week, with the game on the line, all those 28 yards were long, too. I mean, you know.
Oh, he couldn't miss that because all the good everything goes out if he misses
that. He came through, you know, obviously he came through and it mattered. And good for him. Seems like a good kid, and they certainly think he has the leg talent, the mentality, all that stuff to be around for a long time.
He admitted he pressed in week one. He said, I probably, you know, went out there and got a little out of my rhythm, you know, because I was trying so hard. And that's one of the things. How would he react emotionally and deal with the circumstances?
And I went 5 for 5 and, you know, two big kicks. And with the week he had the week before, all five of those kicks were pressure kicks.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Gus Bradley, after the game yesterday, also talked about his quarterback, Blake Bortles, and his performance.
I thought he made some very good decisions. And, you know, although we stalled a little bit in the second half, you know, we just stuck to it and give credit to their defense. That's a very good defense we played against. And, you know, it's kind of the battle of wills. And we just stuck with it.
All right, Gus, continuing on, talking about moving defensive players around and the impact it had on yesterday's game.
It was. We had a lot of jockeying around with positions. You saw even Nick Marshall was in there, Peyton Thompson playing. We lost some guys, but you know, again, a credit. That's really a credit to the players and the coaches to have them ready to go. You always have to be ready as a backup in case your number's called. And these guys' number were called, and they stepped up. And you know, this game, they don't wait for you. And you know, they did a nice job.
That's a great quote, isn't it?
No, it's a really good quote.
They don't wait for you.
First time this team has been 1-1 at 500 since 2011, when they won week one, lost week two up against the New York Jets. It's also the first time that Gus Bradley and this crew has won a football game in the month of September. Gus Bradley was asked about how it feels to get that September win.
We'll take it any time. But it feels good. I'm just, you know what, I just, I don't know. I'm just really excited for our group of guys. You know, the battle test, I said, you know what, you know, we're a young team at times and we got some veteran, but that helped us become more of a mentally tough team is how we look at it. And we'll have great growth because of that.
All right, Gus Bradley, a couple more thoughts here. Asked about the difference between the team last week and what we saw on the field yesterday versus Miami.
Well, I think, you know, we talked about it last week, what took place, whether it was opening game and everybody was excited and, you know, we just didn't play up to our capabilities. And we believed it in this room. We believed it as a coaching staff. We believed it as a group. And they came out Wednesday, went right back to work. And I think there was more of a, you know, that's not who we were. You know, we talk about going out there and demonstrating our style of who we are and what we're becoming, and that wasn't us. So it was more of a, you know, let's get back to doing the things we know. And I just thought they had better poise about them throughout the whole team.
I don't doubt for a second, because I think a lot of people who play professional sports pay attention to what's said in the media, and they all deny that they do, okay? And I do think they know what was said about them last week to a large degree. And I don't doubt in that side of that locker room there could be a little bit of an us versus them mentality that, you know what, nobody believes in us but us. We'll go out and show them. That's fine. But there are good reasons why you have to see it sometimes before you can believe it, right?
I think there's an element of what you're talking about, but I also think there was an element. They knew they didn't play well. I don't think they really thought that. I never got the idea that the team last week thought it was being unfairly criticized. Allen Robinson talked on Sunday about there being a chip on the shoulder. And again, you don't like to read about how many drops you had. And that was a topic. Everybody wrote it. Everybody said it. But at the same time, I never got the impression in the locker room last week that these guys were delusional that they had played well. It was a combination. They were probably sick of hearing about how they hadn't played well, but they also knew they hadn't played well and needed to play better. So, as a matter of fact, we can ask them.
Why don't we? Should we do that? What do you think? One of the definite stars. I think when you say stars of yesterday's game, we awarded him player of the game in the post game yesterday. It should be an easy one to figure out.
Did you read that, Jaguars? I did too. So.
Did you?
Yeah,
well,
so.
You listened in. You got some good advice from us.
Yes,
on,
yes, I was listening.
You might have noticed Allen Robinson had a pretty good game yesterday, and he joins us here on Jaguars today. Big smile on your face, man. You deserve it. Your whole team and all your teammates deserve it as well. Did you feel like finally you're able to show what you guys felt like you were capable of doing yesterday?
Yeah. You know, that's what we go through OTAs for. That's what we go through camp for. You know, so we knew that we wanted to come out and play better as an offense. You know, I think everybody's group position group, when I say that, you know, held their groups to high standards this week. You know, we wanted to go out and we wanted to perform well.
We talked a couple of weeks ago before the pregame show, and I told you a lot of people have a lot of expectations for you. You probably realize that. I'm sure your expectations for yourself are very high, and I'm sure you didn't live up to them in week one. So for you to come out and for your quarterback, to throw you contested balls, go up there and make a play, to put that confidence in, you should have had the pass interference call, too, when the guy ran right through you, didn't get his head turned around. I just thought it was a terrific show of confidence in the play calling by your quarterback to stick it in there, and then for you to go out and complete those plays, man, had to feel great.
Yeah, you know, it did, you know, and just, you know, speaking for all of the offense, you know, just knowing how each and every one of those individuals on our side of the ball, you know, has worked throughout this offseason, you know, with the work that, you know, that our O-line has put in, with the work that Blake has put in, you know, our running back group, you know, and our receivers, you know, we all have really worked, you know, this offseason to play at a high level, you know, so, I mean, we do get disappointed, and, you know, we do want to always perform at a high level.
It was striking yesterday when you spoke to the media that, and people even asked you about it, that you weren't giddy. You know, you weren't sort of standing up there with your hands in the air saying, look, is that just because, I don't know, you expect that to be what you do and you didn't want to be too high on it?
Yeah. You know, I definitely, you know, for myself, you know, I have high expectations for myself, you know. So, I mean, and like I said before, you know, it's never always as bad as you may think or never always as good as you may think, you know. And each week is another new opportunity. You know, I think that's what's so special about this league. You know, you have, throughout the regular season, you know, you have 16 opportunities. You know, so, I mean, you can do that, you know, but it's just about being consistent in this league.
I talked to you early in the off season, and I remember you saying, And last year, while you had some good plays and good games, you never felt like you played like you, meaning going after the ball, being aggressive, playing confident. And I hope I'm translating that right. Was that a goal for you this year, and you felt like you were showing that yesterday, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and one of my big goals, you know, throughout the course of this offseason, you know, was just helping my team, you know, get some more X plays. You know, I feel like last year, you know, I did make some plays, you know, a lot of third down grabs and stuff, but, you know, I definitely wanted to make some more down the field plays for my team. You know, and I know Coach Ole talks about that with the offense as well. You know, I mean, it's great, you know, to have the 13, 14 play drives, you know, but sometimes as well, you know, you want to do have those drives where you have, you know, a 4-play drive, you know, so you have a couple big plays in a drive or 5-play drives. You know, I think with our whole offense, you know, I think we have the capability to do that.
I know it had to be a long week for you guys, Alan, after the performance week one. What is the difference in attitude for this team responding to a game like that against Carolina this year as compared to how you did last year?
You know, I think, you know, something that Coach Gus has really instilled in us, you know, is definitely treating, you know, he always says treat both imposters the same, you know, adversity and prosperity, you know. So, I mean, regardless of, you know, how we played last week, you know, that there was another opportunity this week, you know, so we couldn't focus on last week, you know. Last week was last week, so we had to move on. We had to have a good week of practice. We had to be prepared and come out this week and play well.
Alan Robinson here with us for another minute or two. Good to see your teammate Marquise Lee out there yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always awesome, you know, for us, you know, to have a full group at receiver, you know, and to have all our playmakers out there. You know, he definitely made some big plays for us, you know, especially down the stretch, you know. So it was awesome having him back on the field.
It is crazy when you look at the injury report before the game. I mean, Branch and Marks and Sipp and Jokel and Julius Thomas, who we haven't even seen yet. That's 5 starters. Grotz and Gerhardt, very significant contributors to this football team. And you're able to go out there and still perform the way you did. You start to get the sense now, boy, we got a piece back in Marquise. Now let's get this piece back. When we really have it all together, it might be something to behold.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's kind of hard, you know, to kind of focus on that because it's such down the line, you know. So really you kind of just want to focus on, you know, with the group that we have now. But, you know, we're going to love to get Julius back. You know, and to get Luke back, you know. So just getting Julius back, you know, adds another playmaker to our offense, you know, which is always awesome.
What was, and I know fans are always curious about the quarterback, what was Blake like last week? And in terms of, I guess, just his leadership during the game, the confidence, that whole element.
You know, Blake has always, since he's gotten here, you know, Blake has always had, he gives off that, you know, that relaxed demeanor and that confidence demeanor. You know, I mean, sometimes you know, Blake may not have to go out and say much, you know, but you know what I mean. But Blake always has that look in his eye, you know, that he's confident. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's something that he brings to the offense. You know, just that sense of confidence. You know, whether if it's, you know, if we have a bad drive, you know, if we have a touchdown drive, you know, his demeanor coming off the field is the same. You know, I think that's awesome for us. You know, because as an offense, you know, you never want to really get down on a bad drive, or, you know, you never want to get too complacent if you do have some good drives.
And at some point last week, did you tell him, hey, throw it up to me?
No, well, you know, throughout the course of the off season and stuff, you know, we had been able to, you know, get the confidence, you know, of getting a lot of you know, balls and 50-50 balls thrown, you know. So I mean, I was just excited, you know, that we was able to get the plays called and get to have the confidence, you know, in me to make the plays.
The touchdown celebration, was it planned beforehand, and can you explain it a little bit?
The one with me and her?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was planned. You know, it's something that a couple of my homies from Penn State did last year, you know. So I talked to them this week, you know, see if I could bring it to us.
There you go. How would you describe it?
It's a basketball reference. You know, I seen, I'm not sure who's on the Jaguars Twitter handle, you know, but they had captioned the picture as far as balling. You know, but, you know, as a receiver group, you know, that's what we try to do. You know, we try to go out there and ball each and every week, you know. So, I mean, we were able to, you know, to take a step this past week, you know, so we just got to continue to build.
Look, we love all the catches and all the yards and all the touchdowns every week. I'm sure the most important stat is that W, and that's not lip service, man. Go out and, you know what? A lot of teams that didn't look so hot in week one shocked a lot of teams in week two in the National Football League. No reason you can't continue that trend in week three. Obviously, you know, they're the favorites for a reason. They're the defending champs, but go out there and make it 2 in a row, man. And, you know, enjoy victory. I know you guys put it behind you pretty quickly, like the losses, but savor it at least for the rest of the day, please.
Yes, sir.
All right, Alan.
Yes,
sir. Good to see you, man. Fantastic performance by you. Looking forward to a lot more big games from you this season and hopefully many more Jaguar wins. Congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, there he goes, Alan Robinson. Good stuff. AR-15, you love him, and you should with that performance he put up yesterday and showing you a little bit of what he is capable of at the high end. And that's the thing, John. We do see it on the practice field, and people get sick of hearing it when it doesn't show up, and they, oh, you sucked us in again. And look, all we can do is tell you, you know, what we believe is going to happen, and we were as mystified by his performance last week as anybody. Good to see him. I mean, truly had a number one wide receiver type performance yesterday.
Well, it was a huge step, and as I asked him just now, he had talked throughout the offseason that there were things he did in college in terms of going after the ball and just sort of playing you know, with a dominant tone, I guess. And he really wanted, he really believed that's what was missing from his game as a rookie. And it's understandable to be missing that as a rookie. It takes time to get to that level. He clearly showed that element that he hadn't shown last year yesterday.
All right, way behind, but well worth it to get Alan Robinson on. Let's take a quick break, come back. We'll get the fan feedback spotlight, wrap it up with Johnny O. Victory Monday! Brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Three receiver sets, shotgun, a blitz again. They send five. Blake has some time. Now throws it deep. Allen Robinson is wide open behind the secondary. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Robinson for the score.
You know, when we kind of, well, I know speaking for the receiver's sake, you know, we went to the week with a chip on our shoulder, you know, so we wanted to go out there and we wanted to make plays, you know, and I'm pretty sure that's what each group did. You know, we hold each one of our position groups in a high standard, you know, and we know that if we all play our best and play how we know how to play, that we could be pretty good.
Well, didn't have a rash of calls saying you don't have a number one wide receiver. You got a bunch of frauds. Unless they put Brian Walters in the starting lineup, this team's going nowhere, Tony. Had quite a wave of that last week, as a matter of fact.
Dropitis.
Allen Robinson, if you didn't watch that yesterday and think he had... now, he's got to be consistent, as he talked about with us a few moments ago. But that's what he's capable of. The kind of game he had, the average guy in the league is not capable of that kind of performance.
No.
And it could have been even bigger. Really had a quiet second half. Had most of his damage done in the first half, but that was plenty. Out there yesterday, had a monster game, and glad he could join us here for a few minutes. Let's get a quick look at the fan feedback spotlight. Just asking them for their reaction. How do they feel after the Jags won it yesterday? It's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Tony, what did we get?
From Irish Jaguar, he said, woke up feeling great, then a massive migraine struck. Puts a bit of a damper on a victory Monday. From Harold, happy to have the first of 15 wins in a row out of the way. Hashtag on to New England. Hashtag harbor for an Emmy. From Eric, elated, relieved, happy, tired, and a little hungry. From Cam, relieved that we have some momentum going into Foxborough next Sunday. From Dino, I forgot how it felt. A win in September, good. I don't care what happens this weekend. He says that now. From Will, happy for a win, but too many fans and radio personalities so over the moon about one. From Richard, Professor Bortles had an awesome lecture. From Joey, shocked and happy. I gave up on the win early. Won't happen again. Hashtag just one, baby. Hashtag maybe 2015.
Yeah. Joey did fade in the second half. He's like, he gave me, I think he gave me hashtag same old is what he went with. Happy to have him back in the victory.
No doubt. From Daniel, I haven't been that excited about a win in my 10 years in Jacksonville. It was that good. From John, vindicated. I'm now in the West Palm area and all these Miami fans thought the Jags were a joke. From Cristiano, thankful. And he tweeted out a picture of him in front of the statue down there in Brazil wearing his Bortles gear. And from Bobby, a sad note, but awesome. He says his mom passed away on Wednesday, so for those few hours, he was able to have a great time. Hashtag rest in peace, mom. Condolences out
to Bobby. Yes.
Absolutely.
Final thoughts, John, as we go around the table here. I mean, obviously, yeah, you got 14 more of these. So
yeah, well, and one of the reaction was radio host over the top. Or, you know, that's what you have to do on a Victory Monday. But this was big beyond the win. They played like they thought they could play, and you saw some things that make you think that you can keep seeing them, meaning the front of the defense, overcoming some things in the second half, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee. You saw some things that you expected to see that the team can build around going forward, and you saw it come to fruition, and they needed that.
Tony, final thoughts for the day?
It's good to get one. And it's amazing how different it feels in an NFL city when your team wins as compared to when a team loses. And especially a team that it felt like, again, for me, the big thing coming out is whatever your idea was of this team coming into the season that got crushed in week one in that Carolina game, what they did yesterday was take advantage of the opportunities they had. And guys went and made plays. And I don't even think they were as easy as the plays that they had an opportunity to make against Carolina. That catch by Allen Robinson down the sideline, that's a tough catch. That's just a guy going up and making a play. And that's something else we've talked about this entire offseason. You're allowed to make the tough ones every now and then. And that's what they did yesterday. That's the big thing coming out. Whatever that positive feeling you had about the Jags that got killed in a week, it's allowed to come back now. And for this team, the momentum they can have, if they find a way to win one of these next two, when they go to Tampa 2-2, if they get to that point, is going to be incredible.
Yeah, two things for me. One, it really does come down to a handful of plays because, let's imagine
it's
the worst
case
scenario.
In the NFL,
but truly, right. if Jason Myers, let's say that field goal, instead of winning, it gets blocked and returned for a touchdown. That's one play different in the whole game, right? I mean, I'm just taking an extreme example, but the Jags wouldn't have played any better before 59 minutes and 50 seconds of that game than they had, but this time they made the plays that they had to make. Doesn't mean they didn't have plenty of areas where they can improve upon, and I think that's my second point. I think they haven't played their best football or even close to it when you just consider the fact of the guys that they're hopefully going to get back as reinforcements on this team. And doesn't mean they're going to play their best football or take a step up against New England necessarily or Indy or even against Tampa Bay. But I think better performances than yesterday are still coming. The Jags now 7-3 under Gus Bradley when they score 20 or more points. Points are good. We like all that. Points are good.
Yeah, scoring this lead.
What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
Keep me talking live with Brian Sexton and the other guy, J.P. Shattuck, before the Gus Bradley press conference. It should be around 12:45.
You guys at 12:45, right? Press conference at 1?
Right, but us guys, big headline there.
The big guys.
12:45, and then covering the next day. Day after is always much sweeter after a victory, Mike.
Yes, and hopefully let's keep our fingers crossed for Denard Robinson,
absolutely,
Rashad Green, and the rest of the injuries.